we have this idea that we deserve me time at the end of the day. You know, your kids that go down at 7:30 or 8, you do need to spend time with your spouse, or you do need some time to decompress. But your vocation, your family, deserves the best version of yourself more than you deserve you time.
Are you searching for a homeschooling program to build strong, faithful Catholic students? Mother of Divine Grace School has served families worldwide for almost 30 years, guiding them in implementing a truly Catholic, classical education right at home. Founded by author and homeschooling mother Laura Berquist, Mother of Divine Grace School is fully accredited and provides homeschooling consulting services that support parents as the primary educators. To learn more about enrolling, call 805-646-5818 or click the link above or below in the description.
Are you looking for a comfortable brown scapular that won't break? Check out our sponsor, Scapulars.com. They use American-made paracord, so it's super strong. And they also use Australian merino wool, so it's super comfortable. It feels like you're getting a warm hug from your heavenly mother. Click on the link above or below in the description and get yourself the most durable, comfortable scapulars in the world.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to A Reason for Hope podcast. This is your host for this episode, Jack. And today we're diving into a topic that doesn't get nearly enough attention in the church, the connection between faith and fitness, and how taking care of our bodies can actually be a powerful act of spiritual devotion. I'm joined today by our guest, Chase Krause, founder and CEO of HyperoFit, the world's first Catholic-based personal training and nutrition coaching company. Chase holds a master's degree in biblical theology and has a deep love for St. John Paul II's theology of the body. His mission is to help Catholics see exercise and health not as vanity projects, but as essential tools for growing in self-mastery for the sake of self-gift. I love that. That really resonated with me. So in this episode, we're going to explore the spiritual importance of caring for our bodies, the connection between our physical health and our spiritual life, and how the Catholic principles behind HyperoFit can help you grow in both health and holiness. So whether you're a lifelong athlete or someone just trying to live a healthier life, this conversation is going to challenge you to see your body and your fitness through the lens of faith. So let's get into it. Chase, it's great to be with you. Thank you for being with us today.
Yeah, Jack, thanks for having me on. Excited.
Same here. So let's just get right into it here. So you, Chase, have built your life and in particular your ministry around the idea that physical fitness is deeply connected to our spiritual lives. So can you share about your own faith journey and how your own faith journey sort of led you to that realization?
Sure. So like a lot of Catholics, I grew up sacramentalized, but definitely not evangelized. I went through the motions, and my mom's side is Hispanic. So there's this idea that it's Hispanic Catholicism, like we're Catholic because we're Mexican. Like that was kind of the nature there. And so went to high school, and I have one older sister, a year older than me. And we were the classic, like complaining about going to mass, like not wanting to do it, just not interested. Didn't help that on my dad's side of the family, he's not Catholic. He's not necessarily Christian. Good guy, like naturally virtuous guy. Just wasn't into the faith ever, wasn't brought up in a Christian home. And so I had these kind of two parts of my life that influenced me. On one side, this cultural Catholicism that I didn't really understand. On the other side, this kind of classic Texan bro culture that was my dad's side of the family. And then my mom forced me to get confirmed, like a lot of moms do. She played the mom power card of, hey, Chase, you want your driver's license? And I said, yes. She's like, well, I have to sign the paper, so if you don't get confirmed, I'm not going to sign it. And I said, let's get confirmed. Not the best reasons, but
you know. So you were resistant to confirmation as well?
I was resistant to the going to the classes on top of youth group, on top of mass, on top of just everything else. I was really into sports. By that point, I was already getting into partying and a bunch of other stuff. And I just didn't want to be at church any more than I had to be. I was never an atheist. So that's the thing. I was never an atheist. I was never agnostic. I always believed that God was real. It just was never presented to me in a very tangible way at that point in my life of why I should care. And so, you know, fast forward a few years, I went to college at a local state university and essentially fell away from whatever faith I started to develop after confirmation and kind of went into the classic frat boy, kind of college dumb sports, women drinking kind of lifestyle. I ended up finishing my first year, not doing great academically, but just moving home because freshmen weren't allowed to live on campus over the summer. And nothing really changed. I just kind of fell back in with my old high school friends, just kind of killing time before I went back to school. And then I was just really bored one day. And I found this book in my room that an old friend of mine from a high school youth group, his dad, who is now a deacon, told me to read. And I was like, oh yeah, sure, whatever. And just kind of threw it off like in my room. And the book was called Rediscover Catholicism by Matthew Kelly. So famous.
Oh, it's a Matthew Kelly book. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, his name's been around the block. And so
it certainly has, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't an agnostic. I wasn't an atheist. Like if you would have asked me at that point, I was like, oh, I'm Catholic, even though I hadn't been to Mass in over a year at that point. And so I started reading the book. And like a lot of people know, Matthew Kelly's just a good writer. And it was entertaining. And it was an easy read and all these things. And so it gets to the point, chapter 6 of the book, it's like, this is like 11, 12 o'clock at night in my room, where it's the best version of yourself chapter. And he presents the question of like, what did that mean to be the best version of yourself? And so for me, it kind of got me thinking back to youth group days, confirmation days. It's like, okay, like to be a saint, like I remember using that word or hearing that word. But then the next question was, okay, like, well, what does it mean to be a saint? And he kind of talks about it there. I also kind of thought about it. It's like, okay, it's if I die now, I go to heaven. It's like an auto into heaven kind of deal. And this is 19-year-old Chase's brain. And so the next question, which is definitely just the Holy Spirit, was, Chase, if you died right now, where would you be? And for 19-year-old Chase, that was a terrifying question because I had spent the past however many years of my life professing that I believed in Jesus, but spitting in his face over and over again with my sin and with my neglect of him. And so it's like one of those like, you know, cheesy Christian movies, like I'm on the floor, I'm crying, you know, and snot bubbles galore, all these things. But I prayed my first actual prayer and that was, Lord, I'm sorry. Like it was this deep sense of just desiring for forgiveness and repentance.
And so I did. A contrite heart. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I did what a lot of college boys in Texas will do is I called a buddy of mine and we met at Whataburger at 1 o'clock in the morning. And Whataburger is like, you know, one of our restaurants here.
Okay. And, what's it comparable to in New York?
It's like a burger place. It's a 24-hour burger place.
Shake Shack? Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And so
you met your buddy there. Yeah.
Yes, I'm there. Like my eyes were still puffy. And, you know, and this friend of mine had just gotten back from mission work with Net Ministries. And so I just kind of put everything out there. I didn't know what to do. And praise God, he convinced me the next day to call my local pastor, who I'd known since I was in middle school, and see if he had time to get me into confession. And praise God, that pastor, when I called him that day, he dropped everything, met me in the church, and had like a 2-hour confession with him. And I still remember some of the penances he made me do. But I started going to daily mass. I started praying. I started reading the Bible for the first time. And then where this all ties into Hyperophit is a few weeks go by and some friends of mine who I'd known in high school, like they started seeing me at daily mass. And so we just kind of rekindled our friendship and it got brought up in conversation somehow that they found out my dad and my stepmom had these DVDs, these Beachbody DVDs. Remember those DVDs? You like throw them in the TV and you like, you run and you watch the TV. Anyway, they're not very technically excellent workouts, but they make you really tired. And the one that we had was called Insanity. It was an insane workout. Anyway, they found out, they were like, hey, can we go to daily mass and then like come over and just work out with you? And I said, I guess, sure. I got nothing better to do. And so we started doing that. And around the same time, this is a few weeks after my reversion confession, I started getting tempted to fall back into my old lifestyle again. And I was confused because I was like, whoa, no, I love Jesus now. I'm not supposed to be tempted anymore. Once again, ignorant 19-year-old chance. And so we started doing the workouts and they were really hard. They were really exhausting. But I remember thinking very tangibly that if I can mentally force my body to do this thing it doesn't want to do, namely exercise really hard, maybe that'll help me mentally stop my body from doing the thing it's tempted to do. And so, praise God, like that connection was really made when I was 19. And I eventually ended up doing a couple of years of net ministries myself and then ended up going to school and my master's and all that good stuff. But that was really the seed of HyperoFit was there. And lo and behold, the church just calls this asceticism. You know, we've been doing it for 2,000 years. This idea of finding these very tangible physical things that you choose to do to help and cooperate with grace to build you up and to make you stronger and make you more holy and all these things. So the way I view exercise and nutritional discipline is it's a tool of the modern day ascetic. It's a tool we can use to cooperate with grace. So that was kind of the seed of it, if you will, when I was 19.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that leads perfectly into my next question. I mean, you're talking about reading the Matthew Kelly book and how the I think it was chapter 6, he's talking about the you becoming the best version of yourself. And essentially, it's self-mastery, right? So the concept of self-mastery is very central in both spiritual and physical growth. So from a daily perspective, how do you see those two disciplines sort of reinforcing each other in your daily life as a Catholic while you work out and work on both your spiritual and physical well-being?
It's everything, man. It's everything. So an analogy I like to use a lot is one of the hardest things I've ever had to do in my life physically is always the first month of a new baby. You're just exhausted. Yeah. You're so tired and there's nothing you can do about it. There's no strategy. There's no gimmick. There's no self-help book that will help you not be tired that first month of a new baby. And I have three kids and one on the way. So I've done it a few times. But the way I like to position this with that analogy is St. John of the Cross will use this idea of active purgation versus passive purgation. Active purgation are things you choose, sufferings you choose. So fasting is a form of active purgation. Wearing a hair shirt under a shirt because it's itchy or whatever. And think of all the classic asceticisms, cold showers would be a form of active purgation. So these are all the things that we're choosing to die to ourselves, to strengthen our will in cooperation with grace. All of those things prepare you for passive purgation. And those are the sufferings that God either wills or allows to happen that are always exponentially harder, but always the things that are going to cause you to grow in holiness even more because he's the one either willing it or doing it actively. And so in the form of when that baby's born, when you're waking up for the umpteenth time, for the umpteenth day at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're delirious. You know, you're just stumbling your way to to get a bottle or whatever you need to do, change a diaper. If in that moment, how much better equipped might I be to serve, to love, to give, if I've had consistently practiced mentally controlling my body and conquering myself? And so that way I don't snap at my wife when I'm tired because she's just getting more tired than I am, right? And so this idea of self-mastery for the sake of self-gift. But what JP2 adds, and this is our inspiration, is in Audience 15 of Theology of the Body, is that you can't give what you don't have. We're called the self-gift, total gift of the self, like Jesus did on the cross to the Father. But you can't give what you don't have. And so exercise, nutritional discipline, I will never say that you must do it to be a saint because most saints never touched a dumbbell, right? So that's a misstep. But every saint did practice self-mastery. Every saint strove to give of themselves fully. And so in our modern age, it's just a tool that we can use that can really help us in those moments in life that we're not choosing, that God is allowing to happen or willing to happen, so we can better serve.
Mother of Divine Grace School has served homeschooling families worldwide for almost 30 years. Founded by author and homeschooling mother, Laura Berquist, Mother of Divine Grace School is fully accredited and passionate about supporting parents as the primary educators. Laura states, "We exist to help Catholic families raise their children in a living Catholic culture in their homes, mentoring them in using the MODG Catholic Classical Curriculum to lead their children to good judgment concerning the good, true, and beautiful. With effective school-wide learning goals, students are formed to be active learners, effective communicators, independent thinkers, and multifaceted individuals. Graduates have been accepted into 18 of the top 25 schools in the nation and pursue degrees across a wide variety of fields. Visit their virtual open house to sign up for free Q&A sessions with their admissions team. To learn more about enrolling, call 805-646-5818 or click the link above or below in the description."
The Brown Scapular is a special Catholic devotional. Invest in a scapular that is as strong as your devotion. At scapulars.com, they use super strong American-made paracord because your scapular should be as strong as your devotion. They also use the finest Australian merino wool that feels like a warm hug from your Heavenly Mother. You'll also find handmade rosaries with our distinctive deliverance cross, Italian-made saint medals, keychains, and jewelry. Visit the link above or below in the description to get yourself one of the most durable, comfortable scapulars in the world.
Do you have any, I'm sure this can get into what HyperaFit does and what you offer to the people who join HyperaFit for their physical and spiritual well-being and growth. Do you have any sort of practices that you in particular engage in to just be ready for these passive purgations?
Yeah, so a lot of my stuff happens in the morning. Okay. A lot of parents out there know.
Yeah, what time do you wake up?
About 5 a.m. typically.
Okay.
And so I typically wake up about 5. And then I'm also very blessed where we live in Georgetown here. There's a perpetual adoration chapel seven minutes from my house, which is 5 minutes from my local gym.
Nice.
And so I just have a great routine. So I'll wake up. One of the things I typically like to encourage people to do is called the Hero's Minute, St. Jose Maria Escriva. So your alarm goes off. The first thing you do is drop to your knees and just thank God for a minute. Just praise Him for a minute. So you're offering your first fruits of your day. Mm.
I've heard that. I think I've heard of that one. It's like if you can conquer the first temptation, obviously there's the temptation to hit the snooze button.
You can
conquer the rest of the temptations that come at you, right? I think that is Jose Maria Escriva, right?
Yeah. So, you know, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying I'm perfect at it, but I try to do it.
Yeah. No, I got you, man.
So I'll get up and get ready. And I try to be in adoration right around 5:20, 5:30. And then I'll typically do about 30, 45 minutes of just personal prayer and maybe Liturgy of the Hours, kind of just depends on the day. And then typically I'm in the gym right around, 6:15, 6:20 to 7:15-ish. So that way I can get home right around 7:30 so I can, help my wife with the kids and breakfast and all these things. And then help her get the kids ready because then she'll take the kids to, she has a workout class she's a part of where they have childcare, which is awesome. And so she can take care of herself as well. And so that's my typical mornings. And it's one of those things where as a husband and father, do I want to wake up at 5 a.m. most days? Like, no, not really.
No.
it's one of those things I want to and I need to spend my time with the Lord and I need to take care of myself. Why? So that way from 7:30 until 8 o'clock at night, 12 hours, I can give of myself to my family, to my work, to my spouse, whatever the case may be. Because if I don't do those things in the morning, I don't respond as well. I'm shorter. My temper is not as good, or I'm more lazy, or I'm prone to laziness. And so I need to beg for the grace from God first thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Then perform and then give, right?
Yeah, yeah. It reminds me of Fulton J. Sheen. And there's a retreat that he gave. It's on audiobook. You can find it on Audible. It's called Going on Retreat. He gave it to a group of seminarians and priests when a lot of the religious were actually leaving the church. Within that retreat, one of the chapters, he talks about the daily holy hour and how, the priests and the seminarians, they got to be right up on that. Like they got to be doing it every day, because you know our Lord commanded that of us in the Garden of Gethsemane when he came back to find his apostles sleeping, and he said, "Why could you not? Watch with me for 1 hour?" So and then there's a friend of mine who has sort of brought that in within the context of family life. So obviously Sheen was talking to priests and seminarians, but you know it sounds like you're encouraging people, your clientele, our audience here to do that holy hour, to do that daily holy hour, especially in the morning, because I know that I've heard Sheen say this, and so many, obviously, so many Catholics say that they really derive a lot of strength from the holy hour.
Yeah, or at least a holy 30 minutes, something.
Yeah, for sure.
I think this quote is attributed to Saint Francis de Sales. And so he says, everyone must pray for 30 minutes. If you're busy, pray for an hour.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, yeah. I hope he actually said that. And so I need to like Google it now, but
not yet.
But it's true, because it's we need the grace of God. So that's the thing with everybody starting their health journey. One of the things I encourage them the most is begin with going to confession. Not saying you're in a state of mortal sin or anything like that, if you're overweight or if you need to get in better shape or anything, but confession isn't just there for mortal sins. If we're trying to actively work on growing in a certain virtue or decreasing a certain vice, why not run to Jesus? Why not run to sacramental grace and confess, like, yeah, I've been intemperate at times. I haven't, you know, taken care of my body as well, or I haven't been able to say no to certain food, or whatever the case may be. I'm not saying it's mortal, but you know, we can confess non-mortal sins if we don't have mortal sins, you know, on our conscience. And so it's running to the sacraments, running to Jesus, because we don't want to be Pelagian about this. Pelagius was a heresy, like, you know, hundreds of years ago, who his heresy was we take the first step to God, he sees that, then rewards us with grace. Catholic Church says, no, that's not how that works. God always takes the first step. God always makes the first move. We receive grace as a gift, and then we're called to respond. Mm. And so we can do it. And so there's a book, I'm totally blanking on the name of the book. Anyway, I'll look at, but this priest uses an analogy of we need to be reservoirs of grace, because the reservoir is first filled and then you get the overflow. You're not a channel of grace, you're a reservoir of grace. So it's a cup overflowing, another way to look at it, right? And so if you're a channel of grace, once thing, you know, dries up, the channel dries up. If you're a reservoir of grace, you're only ever giving your excess. And so this is all connected in the spiritual life and in growth of virtue.
So you were talking about waking up early, and I do want to get to food too. I want to talk about how we nourish our bodies.
Sure.
Because I got very intrigued with that last summer, actually. So we'll get to that. But in terms of sleep, let's talk about sleep. You know, because mm-hmm. we're talking about working hard, getting up early, you know, doing this and doing that. But I think there's something to be said about disciplining yourself to get a good night's sleep, right?
Yeah, that's a hard one for a lot of people, especially with kids. So, one thing I say to kids, and about a third of my clients are actually priests, so I have to talk to them about this too a lot of the times, is we have this idea that we deserve me time at the end of the day. You know, your kids that go down at 7:30 or 8, you do need to spend time with your spouse, or you do need some time to decompress, but your vocation, your family, deserves the best version of yourself more than you deserve you time. So a decision, and this is not a quote I made up, but it's a quote I heard when I was a missionary and I love, it's a decision to stay up late, the decision not to pray in the morning. And so if you want to wake up and pray, if you want to wake up and work out, it starts the night before. So you can't expect to go to bed at 11, 12 o'clock at night and wake up at 5 in the morning. You can do it once, maybe twice. You ain't doing it three times. One of those things is going to change. You're either going to go to bed earlier, or you're not going to wake up at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or whenever you need to get your stuff in. And so having the discipline to say, no, yes, I could scroll on my phone. Yes, I could watch a movie, but I'm saying, no, I'm going to start winding things down so that way I can wake up so I can do what I need to do. Is it like the most fun or cool thing you've ever done in your life? Like, well, no, but sleep is so important. Sleep is, I mean, if I have a client who for a long time was really struggling with weight loss, and we were working together, we tried all these things that perceivably work on everybody. And then after a few months, I was like, okay, something's going on under the hood. Like, something else going on. So sure enough, he got his testosterone checked and he did a sleep study. He had really low testosterone, but like below the recommended levels, and he had sleep apnea at the same time. And so we got him on CPAP machine, and you know, it just, sleep is everything. Sleep is so important. Like, you're not going to build muscle or lose fat if you're not sleeping. So it's so important.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So let's talk about eating. So you know, we often hear that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. So what does that really mean in practical terms when it comes to how we eat, especially? Because you know what, it's how we're fueling our bodies. It's how we're fueling our cells, our mitochondria. So yeah. Do you have anything on that?
Yeah. So when it comes to nutrition, we don't prescribe any one quote unquote named diet. Typically our response is, if your diet has a name, it's going to be unsustainable for most people. And so that being said, we're also not dogmatically against any named diets, because there's certain people or certain situations that they need those things. So for example, carnivore is really big right now. Is carnivore sustainable for most people? No, it's not. But there are some people with some serious autoimmune issues or schizophrenia or cancer that there's been studies showing that carnivore can actually really help with those. And so is it the quote unquote healthiest thing to do for most people, because there's some digestive stuff and all these things? Maybe not. But for that subset of people, the trade-off is worth it, because they have some crazy autoimmune flare up and the digestive issues, whatever. That's nothing compared to this crazy autoimmune thing I was dealing with, or, you know, whatever. So, so typically the way we'll approach nutrition is, for the normal person that doesn't have autoimmune issues or any kind of medical thing going on, is we want to be protein forward and hanging out, mostly eating minimally processed whole foods. That being said, doesn't mean we can't leave room in our diet for celebrations or for something yummy on a date night every once in a while. So if the goal is general health, if weight loss isn't specifically the goal, you can really live by like the 80-20 rule. If 80% of the food you eat is minimally processed whole foods and high protein, lean protein, good stuff, you can have carbs in the mix. It's all good. Like, carbs aren't bad. That leaves room for 20% of the time to say, okay, I'm going to have something that's not perfectly optimal or whatever. Will this approach help you lose weight? No, it won't. But if you already act the way you want to be, it's sustainable. It's a Sunday, and yeah, you can have the donut after mass. It's not going to be the end of the world. Will this 80-20 rule make you a six-pack go bodybuilder? Nope, definitely won't. but it's sustainable for most. Now, if you're somebody who needs to lose a certain amount of body fat just to be, objectively speaking, more healthy, then yeah, it's more like 95-5, right? At least for a short period of time while you're trying to, you know, get to the body composition you need or want. And so the best thing, the biggest thing with nutrition is understanding that most people's problem is not that they have too much body fat. It's that they're under-muscled. That's really the problem. Muscle is the metabolic powerhouse of the body. Muscle is where you store carbs, store amino acids, store some fats. It's where you produce a lot of energy, where you burn a lot of calories. And what happens is so often that people will go on these crazy fad diets and they lose 20 or 30 pounds really quickly, but it's unsustainable. And so they stop and then they go back to normal and then they gain all their weight back and then some. Why? Because about 20 or 30% of the weight they lose is muscle mass. They eat away their muscle mass if they don't have their protein dialed in, if they're not doing resistance training. And so there's a reason you've never heard of the Biggest Loser reunion tour. We actually know all these people, 90, 95% of the contestants gained all their weight back and then some, and their metabolisms got worse because of it, because they lost so much lean body mass. And so the reason I say that with nutrition is because what most people, I think it's like 70% of Americans, are suboptimal in their protein consumption. And so protein is so important. And most people are like, oh, I eat, you know, protein every meal. And then I'm like, okay, what do you have for breakfast? They're like, I ate one egg. And I'm like, that's 6 grams of protein. You need you need more than that.
How much do you need? I mean, it probably depends on your height, your weight.
Yeah. So it's a bit goal dependent and the person, but typically, you know, if we're talking about optimal, which once again, there's some gray here. Optimal protein, I like to try to have at least 30 per meal. 30 to 40 per meal is great. One is going to make you just feel full, so you're not going to feel hungry right away. But two, it's going to help with what's called muscle protein synthesis. That's the thing that's going to help you build muscle mass. Once again, this is always goal dependent and also your size. So typically the right now, what most studies are pointing us to is that 0.7 to 1 gram of protein per goal weight is the range on a daily basis. So just for the sake of easy math, if for whatever reason your goal weight's 100 pounds, and probably most people go, wait, not 100 pounds because you'd be very small, but maybe you're like 5'2" or something, or 5 foot or whatever. If your goal weight's 100 pounds, that means your protein on a daily basis needs to be between 70 to 100 grams of protein, right? Grams a day. If your goal weight's 200 pounds, okay, it's double. That's 140 to 200 grams of protein on a normal day. And so that's the range. It's always a range. You don't have to have a hard, fast number. But if, you know, the first thing I tell my clients to do is add before subtract. The first thing we're adding is typically protein.
Yeah.
And then the rest kind of falls into place. So yeah. So it's one of those things where if you have the right things at your meal, it's not terribly hard to get the protein you need. The hard thing is most people aren't going to have a steak at every meal.
Right. I mean, it's so expensive. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. So
I'd love to.
Yeah. It'd be great. Yeah. Well, especially with, you know, with the families and stuff like that. It's, you know, it's like my three kids, like we do steak night every once in a while.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, here's a half a steak for you. Right. And then like, sharing. So there's ways to get enough protein in. There's other things besides steak, obviously. And it doesn't mean it has to be boring. You don't have to have like, you know, boiled chicken for every meal or something like that.
I love smoothies. Greek yogurt,
scoop of whey protein powder, something like that. Some Greek yogurt, awesome. And so it's so important. Now, obviously, there's so many other things that nutritionally need to be there as well from a micronutritional perspective besides just protein. But protein is so great because it's going to help you feel full. It's going to help you build and protect your muscle mass. It's going to help you get stronger. It's going to help with your hormonal health as well, especially women as they age, perimenopausal and postmenopausal women. It's so important to up your protein because the older you get, the worse your body gets at absorbing nutrients. And so after the age of 40, 45, you actually need a little bit more protein than somebody who's in their 20s and 30s because you just don't absorb things as well as you used to. And so it's really important.
Okay. Chase, let's do a little demo here. Let's say I'm a new client onboarding. Is that okay with you?
Sure. Yeah.
Just okay. So I'll give you a little bit of my background. So when I got married, I almost 3 years ago now, I was definitely noticing that I was gaining weight. I was probably still skinny, relatively speaking, because I've been pretty skinny my entire life. I did lift weights in high school, stopped lifting in college, really stopped exercising. And then I heard a podcast, of course, last summer that scared me and in a great way. So I started eating clean. I tried to get rid of as many processed foods as possible in my diet, and I lost a lot of weight. Not a lot, relatively speaking, is like a belt loop for me, you know?
Sure,
but
sure.
But it was like, oh, wow. But I don't lift. I don't do resistance training. So, you know, what am I 6'3", 185? What would be your advice to me apart from the nutrition, kind of keeping up with that as best I can and getting enough protein? What would be your advice to me, your guidance for resistance training, especially to start out?
Yeah.
I do walk. I do walk, by the way.
Nice.
I walk a lot. Yeah. I haven't filled my rings today, though, yet.
Come on. So this is going to be goal dependent. So, you know, a lot of this stuff, but a term that I'm a big fan of is this idea of minimal effective dose training. So a lot of times when we're younger, high school, college, when we work out, we're typically training for a sport or something like that. And if you're training for a sport or a competition, or if you're an athlete, or if your income is contingent on the way your body looks or performs, the mentality is, what's the absolute most I can do to get crazy results? But for most people who aren't pro athletes, or your income isn't contingent on the way your body looks and performs, we don't need to do the absolute most to get crazy results. We need to ask the question of, what's the least amount of work I can do to get the most results possible? Because typically, that's going to be something sustainable. And so for my clients who have not worked out for a long time or maybe never worked out, I'm typically advising them at first, give me 2 days in the gym, right? And in the gym, you're doing two full body workouts. And you see a lot of stuff online with everybody has to squat or everybody has to do this or everybody has to do that. Never listen to those kind of people. They're not telling you the truth, or they just haven't learned enough. Because if you are a power lifter, then yeah, you got to squat because that's part of the competition. If you're a CrossFitter, yeah, you got to squat because that's part of the competition. But if general health is your goal, having muscle mass is the goal to make you healthier, to boost your energy levels, to protect your bone density, all these things. You just need one squatty thing, you need one pushy thing, and you need one pulley thing. I know, very technical terms there.
Can I do it with dumbbells?
That's the thing. Resistance training that qualifies as resistance training is you are loading a body part through a range of motion. That can happen with body weight. It can happen with dumbbells. It can happen with bands, with machines, with cables, whatever the case may be. So there are pros and cons to doing different modalities and different setups. So body weight, typically for somebody who hasn't done a lot in a long time, hard fare, especially if you have too much body fat, it can just be really hard. You have to modify a lot, or it can turn more into cardio workout than resistance training because it just makes you kind of huffy and puffy before your muscles actually get enough stimulus. Not for everybody, but for some. And so typically, yeah, for my clients, when they're first starting out with me, I kind of jokingly say, my goal is to not make you sore. That's not my goal. Might you get sore? Maybe, but that's not my goal, right? That's not my goal is to make you sore. My goal is to have you show up. You're going to do one leg exercise, one chest exercise, one back exercise, and one shoulder exercise. It's going to take you 30 to 45 minutes. You're going to finish that workout. Think to yourself, oh, that wasn't really that bad. I'm not even that sweaty. And then cool, go home. Move on with your life. Because just that stimulus is going to be enough to start, you know, producing some muscle growth. You might be a little bit tight, you know, maybe the next day or two, but you shouldn't be like debilitatingly sore.
That's a good feeling. Yeah,
exactly. And then you're going to go a day or two. And then whenever you feel normal again, cool, go back to the gym and do the exact same thing again. The same leg, the same chest, the same back, the same shoulder. And you're going to do that same routine for weeks potentially. And every day, every time you're doing it, you're tracking your weights, you're tracking your reps, you're always trying to match or beat whatever you did. So it's the idea called progressive overload. And then once you build a foundation, once you enjoy or at least are used to going to the gym, and once you maybe want to go more, that's when you can do different setups, different splits. You can start messing with scheduling and things like that. But we have the data, we have the science, and we know that just one day in the gym a week is enough to produce muscle growth, as long as you're training properly and effectively in what's called close proximity to failure. So it doesn't mean it's the easiest workout you've ever done in your life, but you just need one. And just one working set per muscle group is at least enough to protect your muscle mass, right? So you won't lose it. Because if you don't use it, you will lose it. And so we know that sarcopenia, which is basically right around the age of 40, 45-ish, for every year you don't work out, you'll lose 1% to 2% of your lean body mass. And then as your lean body mass goes, your bone density will decrease, which is why you have a lot of people in their 50s, 60s, 70s fall and they break a bone really easily. Why? Because their bone density has been diminished because they're not doing resistance training. So you can walk every day for the rest of your life. That's fine. But we need to find some form of resistance training. Once again, 1 or 2 days a week to protect your muscle mass and protect your bone density.
1 or 2 days a week, 30, 45 minutes.
That's it.
That's it, man. This is inspiring for me, especially. I want to talk about your upcoming book, right? You're coming out with a book, God of Endurance. Can you maybe tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I wrote it with Dan Burke. So Dan Burke used to be...
You wrote it with Dan Burke. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he was a client of mine. He worked with me for about a year. And he found us through Googling Catholic personal training. And we're the only thing that pops up. Anyway.
That's good.
Yeah. So he had a great experience with us because he had never worked out consistently before. And obviously, but Dan's a powerhouse in the spiritual life. And,
right.
And so we built a friendship, built a great relationship. And I started working on this idea of a book that is really supposed to be a primer for Catholics. And so it's called The God of Endurance. It's coming out through Sophia Press this August. And so I brought him on, one, to make sure the book was made sense to a normal Catholic layperson. I didn't want to get super nerdy, super technical, but also I wanted his insight in the spiritual side of things to make sure this is really relevant. So yeah, The God of Endurance, the title comes from St. Paul in Romans when he says, may the God of Endurance bless you. Because in my research and diving into the New Testament, hupomeno, which is part of the inspiration for hypero, which means I endure or endurance. When you look throughout the New Testament, when you track it, especially in Paul and Hebrews and even Revelations, the thing that he praises it is sometimes faith, but it's typically hupomeno, steadfastness, endurance. You are praised because you endured until the end. So that's why St. Paul in Romans says, may the God of endurance bless you. And so this book, The God of Endurance, is really kind of a three-part book where the first part is kind of more the theological side of how this all works and why we should be doing some physical, right? And how we are called to grow. And we get a little bit more into the active and passive purgation and all those things, which is cool. But then we dive into practicals and like, okay, where to start with exercise, with nutrition, with taking the next steps. What do you need to do if you need to lose weight? All these things. And so we intentionally made it a little bit shorter so that way somebody can read it relatively quickly so they can just start, they can go, they can do it. And it's like I said, it's supposed to be a primer for Catholics who are trying to either start working out for the first time and eating well, or for those that have been but have never thought about how to position it in light of what the church teaches on sanctification.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah. What a great collaboration with Dan.
Yeah.
It's great. Sure to be very fruitful. I pray that it's a success and that it, inspires people to take that first step, you know, especially the people who, like myself, who need to get back in the weight room. So I feel like we haven't talked a lot about hyperophit, but you've obviously exhibited your knowledge and expertise. Is there anything additional that you want to add in relation to, you know, to your ministry, to hyperophit? Any project or website that you want to point people to?
Sure. Yeah. So the two main things we offer, and historically the reason we offer them is because when I was at New York, I kind of moonlighted as a personal trainer on the side just to help pay the bills. Cause you know, you don't go into ministry for the money. And it was pre-COVID, and New York's always been expensive. And so when I was there, I was doing in-person training to get to do certifications and things like that. But it drove me crazy how much we were charging for a 1 hour workout. For when I was in New York, I was at a gym in Yonkers, and we would charge anything from $70 to $115 for 1 hour workout. And that's a normal rate for personal training even to this day. And so my heart was really in a place though, where because I worked for ministry full-time, I was working with priests and lay people that, man, they needed this. They needed help. There's no way they're going to afford $1,200 a month for three workouts a week with a personal trainer, right? That's what it would be. I mean, do that math, like, right? That range times three times four is $1,200. And so I had this just deep desire to spread this kind of idea of self-mastery for self-gift from JPC Theology Body, while also bringing a technically excellent approach to exercise and nutrition. Because great thing about working with the Archdiocese of New York, we worked with a lot of like just business professionals, doctors, lawyers that were authentic Catholics and disciples. And I thought about what they were doing. And, you know, a surgeon, they didn't try to Catholicize surgery and put a rosary in your guts when they sewed you up kind of thing. But rather, they tried to be like the best surgeon they could possibly be while being an authentic disciple of Jesus Christ. And so that's the approach we wanted to bring to the world. And so originally, when we launched in 2020, we still do a lot of this, is like one-on-one coaching. So for somebody who wants a custom workout plan, nutrition plan, the accountability, and somebody to journey with them through all of this, because it's not the easiest thing you've ever done. Then we have that. But then this past year, we launched our app in the App Store. And so for people that just like, hey, just, you know, want to pay a normal monthly fee, we have like dozens of workouts for like at home or in the gym. We have a nutrition education. We have a macro tracker, like a MyFitnessPal kind of set up. And the cool thing is, even people with that still have access to me, like directly to me, like through the app. And so they can message me for basic questions or anything like that. And it's actually me who responds. It's like not a bot or anything like that. And all this is through our website. So hyperofit.org, hyperofit.org, or just Google Catholic personal training and gold would be the first thing that pops up. But of course, Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff too.
Yeah. Fantastic. Congrats on the app launch. Yeah. That's a huge deal.
That's a bit of a... Yeah, that was a crazy. But we did it.
Cool, man. Well, Chase, it's been a pleasure being with you. God bless your ministry. God bless HyperoFit, all of your clientele. And thanks again.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jack. It's been fun.
Thanks so much for joining us for another episode of A Reason for Hope podcast. If you haven't already done so, please like, share, follow, and subscribe. Until next time, peace.